Welcome back, everyone, to The Zamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I am ridiculously excited to have my very, very good friend, Alex Corrado, live from Boston with me. How's it going, Alex?
Hey, James. Good. How are you?
I am absolutely super happy, super in a good mood, because you're here with me, and I've been wanting more and more people from the Boston office, because people think that I work in San Francisco. It's a very misconception. They either think I'm in Boston or San Francisco, but I'm here in beautiful Seattle, where it's, you know, bright and sunshiny one or two days. So I want to have more of the core Zamarin team. And Alex, you've been at Zamarin. We worked together for a long time. So maybe you can tell all of the viewers a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am the technical lead on Xamarin's iOS designer. And that includes the storyboard and zip editor for iOS, watchOS, and tvOS in both Visual Studio and Visual Studio for Mac.
Well, that's a lot. So is it one designer with multiple surfaces? Is it all these designers? Or how does it kind of work?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of it is shared code. But yeah, I mean, the different platforms have different aspects. So they're tailored for each.
Very cool. So how did you get into that? And you've been at Xamarin for how long now, I guess, and in Microsoft, I guess?
Oh, my. I mean, since 2011, I think, at Xamarin. So more or less the beginning. And now I think we've been with Microsoft for 2 years now, more or less, maybe going on three.
So did you work on the designer from the very beginning, or?
Yeah, from the beginning of the product. I started at Xamarin as our first release engineer. And then when we started the iOS designer, I moved to work on that.
Very cool. Now, I imagine it's a little bit, maybe you can talk about the designer a little bit, because a lot of people may be used to Interface Builder. Maybe you have some brand new Xamarin developers that have done like Objective-C or Swift applications. How does our designer mesh when it comes to the Xcode type Interface Builder design? Like, well, how do those two worlds blend?
Well, so our designer is it's a storyboard and zip editor. So those are the native Apple file formats that Xcode Interface Builder also uses. So we strive to be completely compatible, and we do of course, as Apple defines, you know, those platforms, iOS, tvOS, watchOS. We of course take inspiration from Interface Builder and try to make an experience that like people who are used to Interface Builder can relate to, but we also try to make things nicer for C# developers too. So things like actions and outlets that are exposed in Interface Builder, we make it a bit nicer. You just give something a name, or you just double click to add an event handler, that kind of stuff that C# developers are used to.
So kind of, you know, one thing that I really liked when I used the storyboard editor is, yeah, I want to assign like a class name. I used to use the old synchronization model where I would open, this is like pre, so I've been doing Xamarin development for 6 years now. So I would right-click, open an Interface Builder, make my changes, and then do it. But I was like dragging and dropping lines into header files and like all this stuff. And so you're saying like I can just type the name and then it generates the file or the code behind for me then?
Yep, it's the code behind. Just like if you're used to doing like in XAML or whatever. So that sort of takes care of under the hood. It's actually doing the same thing that Xcode does when you create an outlet, but there's no like drag and drop, control drag to source code or confusing things. You just type in your name and it's in your source code.
That's very cool. I like that because to me as a developer, I don't want to have to start. I know how to use the designer, right? I'm like, I know about my property grids. I know about my click events, and I should just be able to do it.
So yeah, especially like coming from Visual Studio. Yeah, that's what people are used to.
Now, iOS is a little bit complicated. I know they've been doing a lot of work on the iOS designer specifically too, but iOS, like when I started, right, it was this beautiful 320 by 480 canvas, right? And like that was it. There was one canvas, one size. So our designer, can you kind of describe what a storyboard or a nib file is and like how it relates to all the iOS platforms?
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess back in those days, there was just one size of iPhone, right?
So it was great.
So much easier, and there weren't even constraints. You just did like your auto resizing mask or whatever, and then, you know, of course, like the iPad came along was the first maybe, and so then what they did is they had you had a storyboard or a zip for iPhone, and then you had a separate one for iPad. Mm-hmm. And just sort of like, if you're talking about the difference between storyboards and zibs, the zib is just like a single view, whereas a storyboard, you can have multiple view controllers and sort of design your whole app's UI and in a storyboard kind of like fashion with segues between them. But yeah, so then there was a storyboard, say, for your iPhone and for your iPad. And then as more sort of shapes and sizes came along for different size iPhones, the first there was the like the iPhone 5S, I think, got taller, and then the 6 got bigger. And so then eventually Apple introduced what they called size classes. And this is on top of the system of constraints as well. And basically the constraints allow you to position, say, like given you know, a change in size, for instance, you know, pin like this side of this view to the right side of your screen. So if the screen gets wider, then that view will get wider. The size class lets you say, do that, but only in portrait or only in landscape.
Got it.
Or only for iPads or only for iPhones. And so now you can have a single storyboard or zib, and then with constraints and size classes, you can customize that one UI to fit all these different form factors.
That makes sense. And that's why I remember that when I open up the storyboard for the first time, it doesn't really look like an iPhone or an iPad. It looks like a rectangle or a square, because it is the idea there that this is going to fit all form factors then?
Well, actually, so that's one of the changes I'm here to talk about today, is we actually got rid of that.
Oh, cool.
We're following suit from Interface Builder, where they introduced this generic view. And I think the idea was to get you not thinking about specific devices, because it's really easy to say, you know, say you're viewing your storyboard as an iPhone, you know, 7, and you lay everything out perfectly for that. I mean, as soon as you switch to an iPad, your stuff is not going to be in the right place anymore unless you added all the constraints and everything. So by having this generic view, I think, you know, the idea was to try and get you to think of a generic, like, abstract device so that you add the constraints and make sure everything's set. But I think in the end, that ended up just being more confusing. And what we had now is there's a new bar that makes it really easy to switch between different views. So even though you're always like viewing as a specific device, you can change it really easily and see how those changes will affect your layout.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so there is a bunch of new stuff that just got released. So, I mean, even I'm thinking right now, not only were there new iPhones that just came out with the iPhone X, for instance. I'm going to keep calling it iPhone X, by the way. If John Gruber calls it iPhone X, I can call it iPhone X. There was that, but there's new iPads, the iPad Pro, so there's a lot of stuff. And we released a bunch of new stuff in the designer, which is why I wanted to have it come on. So I figured maybe you can show us all the new hotness.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. So cool. Let's jump over to your desktop. Let's see it in action.
Let me share my screen. And I'm just going to jump over here. Can you see my Visual Studio for Mac?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Awesome. As I was saying, we have the designer, and the same designer is both in Visual Studio for Mac and Visual Studio on Windows. And I'm going to use Visual Studio for Mac today and just create like a new single view iOS app. And so what my thought was, like, let's just build a simple screen to just sort of show like the different new features that we've added. Okay. And I was thinking like a profile pic, kind of like a profile screen.
Okay.
So I'm just going to create a single view project for that.
Yeah, I think the single view, I think, is just blank, right? Is that what I imagine?
Right.
That's what I imagine.
It's just a blank, one single blank screen in a storyboard. So the first thing you'll notice, if you're familiar with our previous releases, is that we used to have a size class selector, a view as, orientation toggle, zoom buttons, and those were all used to be all up in this top toolbar, and that's all gone. And all that functionality is now moved to this new bottom toolbar.
Oh, okay, got it. Interesting.
So you can see the zoom buttons here, and they just work as they used to. But there's this new part here where it says viewing iPhone 8 Plus. And if I click that, it'll expand. And now this is where the selector I was talking about, where you can easily switch between different devices and the orientations as well.
Fancy.
So that's basically...
Does the iPhone X show the notch?
It doesn't yet.
That'd be so cool.
It's coming in a following release, I promise.
But you have this is everything, including the 4S. That's 4S is still out there. I still see people with them all the time.
Those are hardy little devices.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, all the way up into like the large iPad. And even when it comes to iPad, you can also choose like between the different adaptations, like when you have the split screen mode, for instance.
Oh, got it. So yeah, when you think about iPhones and iPads, the different sizes, landscape, portrait, they all act a little bit different. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so all of that is now accessible from this bar down here.
Nice.
So what I was thinking is that we could start out with with a like a, an image for like a profile picture.
So what are these? What are these blue bars that's coming up? Oh, you're dragging and dropping this in.
Right. As I drag, these are guidelines. So if I drop it, when the blue bar is visible, it will snap to the margin.
Got it.
So in this case, I was going for the left and the top margin.
Beautiful.
And then I can. It also appears when you resize. So I want to resize it over, and let's make it really big because it's like the hero picture.
Yep.
And then I was thinking we could just have like a block of text, some like lorem ipsum to. This will be like the bio, like biography part. So there it is. And we could resize that out. Okay, so I have this looking pretty all right in this particular view. But then as you can see, when I switch it up, now things are getting truncated if
Got
I make
it.
The device really small. And if I make go to like an iPad, it doesn't resize either to get bigger. So.
And the problem here is that these are essentially, when you drag and drop, it's like an absolute layout essentially. Like is it saying like, hey, this is going at 1010 and this is the size, right? So there's,
right.
It's absolute.
Yeah, and this is like you're setting the frame is what you're doing, and that's just like the absolute position.
Got it.
So the other thing you'll notice, speaking of frames, is that there's this new toggle button up here, and right now we're on the toggle. It says frame editing mode.
Oh.
So that's what we've been doing as we've been dragging and resizing things, as you mentioned. But this other option is constraint editing mode.
Oh, okay.
So as you'll recall, we used to have. The way you would add constraints for something is when you had it selected, you would just click again, and that would display the constraint pinning handles.
Ah, the handlebars, yeah.
Yeah, the handlebars. You had the T bar and the bone, little bone shape.
Yeah.
But that click gesture, we've removed it now.
Oh.
Well, because
bad news. Okay, no.
but the good news is that all the little handles are still there when you click over on the constraint.
Oh, okay.
Mode.
I can rest tonight. Okay.
So instead of the click and click again, instead you'll just toggle those handles with this toggle up here.
Got it.
So the first thing we would think is like, okay, so let's add some constraints so that when we resize this view, we can the views will adapt as we want. So I'm just going to add sort of the most basic ones on the top and the left and the right. And then I'll constrain the image view to the text view as well. And I think I also need to set an explicit height for the image view. This will tell me that I'm missing a height for the image view. So I will set that.
So what was that little info thing down there that you just did?
So you see how everything is orange here.
Yep.
That means that I've added some constraints already, but I haven't done enough to actually fully define the layout.
It's like halfway, it's like almost there.
Right. It's like almost there. Because I've added, and if you ever want to know, I've added, you can go under the layout tab and you can see all the constraints that you've added. So I've added the top and the left leading and trailing, and then between the text view and the image view. But if you want to know what you're missing, you come and you click on this little indicator here and it'll say that we're missing height for the image view.
Got it.
Of course, we haven't added any constraints for the text view yet. So I can just set the height as like a constant height by just clicking on the bone and choosing height here.
Oh, cool.
And now you'll see it's turned blue, which means that it's fully constrained.
It's a happy image, happy clouds, happy.
The happy, right?
Happy mountains.
The orange is distressed and the blue is happy. So I'm just going to add some quick constraints onto the text view as well, on the left and the right and the bottom. And now that's blue too. So
cool.
Now everything appears to be fully constrained, and that little warning sign has gone away. So now I can click through, and you can see that it actually does resize as we would hope. But then let's see if we go to landscape. The problem is that this image view is still really big, and we only have like one line of text visible here.
Yeah, that's no good.
So I was like, well, we don't really need maybe this image view taking up all this horizontal space. If we maybe move it, like we could do half image view and half text view, might be a better use of the space, but only in landscape. So this is now where the size class concept that I was talking about comes into play.
Got it.
So, and also you'll see sort of how this new constraint mode sort of plays out a little differently than it used to. So the first thing is I'm going to switch back to the frame editing mode, and I'm just going to just drag the frame over to be about the size I want. And you can see now it's turned orange again because we still have this constraint that we added before, that was pinning it to the trailing margin of the superview.
Okay.
And this dashed layout, this dashed line right here, will show you like what the actual size of the view will be at runtime. So even though we've resized it now on the design surface, we haven't actually done anything to our app when we actually run it. So the nice thing though is, if you'll notice this last button that I haven't talked about on the toolbar here, this is the update frames based on constraints button. And this is actually, we had this in previous versions as well. And if I just click that, maybe I have to select the view and then click the button, it'll just snap it back to the constrained size.
Got it. So it's like this is actually what you did. You're messing around with stuff, but hey, go back to what's actually going to be on at runtime.
The actual runtime. See, I'm just changing the design time frame right now.
Got it.
And this button just resets it. But if I do this and then I switch over to constraints mode, you'll note that this button now flips and it's now update constraints based on frames. So now if I click that, it's actually going to just update the constraint. And so now it's blue again because it's now constrained to this newer width.
Now, does it know about the information that it's in landscape mode? Is that contextual there?
No, not yet. So we haven't actually enabled any like size class variations yet.
Got it.
So if you'll note, like I'll go back to portrait and now it's like super skinny.
Oh, no. Okay.
So we don't want that. So I'm going to undo. I'm going to just undo back. Okay. So what we can do now is if we only want that to apply to landscape is you can go down here and you hit edit traits. Mm. And this is where now we have the option to only apply to either compact width or compact height or both.
Got it.
And I'm not exactly sure whether I want just one or the other. So what I can do is I can actually click on one and this will actually show me the devices that it will apply to, like
Whoa.
The exact orientations and everything.
Cool.
So if I just do compact height, I get these. And if I do both compact width and compact height, you'll note that the iPhone 8 in landscape, iPhone 8 Plus, plus one goes away because that's actually regular width in landscape.
Got it.
So then we'll just do just compact height and any width. So we'll apply it to all these devices. And now that we're like, it says here varying five compact height devices. And so now when I do the same thing I did before and I switch back to constraints mode and say update constraints, this is actually going to create a variation that only applies in landscape.
Whoa.
So now I go done varying and you can go back to portrait and you'll see that it's now the full width again.
Amazing.
So that's sort of size classes in a nutshell. But we still have one more view. We still got to take care of this little text view.
Yes.
So just to sort of recap again, I'm just going to resize it to where I want it. And it'll show me again that we still have this constraint here. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to try to add this new constraint that I want just straight up. And now what you'll see is this little like exclamation mark because I didn't actually remove the first one that I had down here. So now it's saying that the two are conflicting.
Got it.
So now what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're varying again the way we want. And then what I can do is I can select on the one that I want to basically get rid of, but I don't want to get rid of it in portrait, just in landscape, right? So
yep.
I can come down here and what we want to do is we want to uninstall it. So I click this little gear and this adds it's another way to add the installed property. You have to add the variation explicitly. Because it's like it only makes sense in terms of size classes.
Yeah, you're not going to delete it. You're saying apply this certain condition to this constraint almost.
Right, right. They called like uninstalling it in like just a specific size class.
Got it.
So we said we want to do any width and compact height. And so now when I add that, you'll see like this is now uninstalled and it goes away and it's no longer red.
Oh, cool.
So we can just quickly do the same thing for the height. And then add the new height constraint. And we get the little exclamation mark. And so this is the old one that we had before. And we'll just come back and say uninstalled. So now I think everything should be happy. And if we switch back to portrait, oops, we still have, because now we added a new constraint, but it's installed in both. So we have to also make sure that that one's.
You added that one where essentially it hugs the left hand or the right hand side of the image. So
right.
You're adding the reverse, which is, hey, don't show this in portrait.
Exactly. Don't do that one. So what I'll do there is I'll uninstall it for any, and then I will install it only for compact height.
Got it. That makes sense.
So there we go. I think that should cover it.
Whoa. cool. That's really cool. I mean, this is kind of exactly what I would want to do in my app, right? I think some of the hardest, sometimes the hardest way of creating an app design is worrying not about just apps, device size, but then configuration, right? Is it landscape? Is it portrait? Is it on a TV? So to me, I start thinking, all right, maybe I'll only support portrait because it's going to be way easier for me in general. But then I still have all those other issues, which is I got to worry about the device size, the iPad size, and then you're going to get those people that download the app. They're like, I really want this to work in landscape. So then you got to go do this stuff, basically. It makes it a better app. Very cool.
And the nice thing about like sort of the size class approach versus the old sort of way of having completely separate storyboards is we have our same layout, so it's not like it's going to get out of sync. You know, any changes that we make, you know, we'll automatically apply to everything, or it'll give us like those conflicting, you know, indicators if there's a conflict or things of that nature. So
very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I really like. I mean, to me, this is all brand new. It's the first time I'm seeing it. Right. So this is amazing because this is some hot bits that came out. So I wanted to have you come on and show off all this. I know I'd opened a few of them. That's the thing is I'd opened a few of them in the past, and I was doing the same thing that I'd always done, which was not use this stuff. And I was just doing my old kind of constraint systems and doing whatever. And so now I actually understand exactly what's happening here because I think there's so much. I remember, like I said, when I started, it was that nice little iPhone 4S that you had there, right? It was hard coding values. It's 320, and I don't have to worry about it. But now you do. This is really important stuff. So cool. Dude, that's so rad. I love that it's giving you information when it's important to you, right? So as you're viewing it, you can see what it looks like on iPad and all these different views, and boom, you're good to go. Cool. Is there anything else you want to show off? Any other new hotness stuff in here?
This is it, I think, for the 15.5 release that just went out, but there's definitely some more polish coming down the line that we got in the pipeline right now, and a couple of cool new things. So hopefully we'll have more to show you soon.
Very cool. Yeah, I'd love to have you back on. So this is available today inside of Visual Studio for Mac and Visual Studio 2017.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Well, awesome, Alex. I absolutely love it. And yeah, I want you to come back on and show us all the brand new stuff that you're working on, because this stuff's all super cool. I love it. And it's really important stuff. So even for me, when I'm designing just a launch screen, right, that's always super important too. So, well, awesome. Thank you so much, Alex, for coming on, taking a beautiful sunshiny day, it looks like, over in Boston to come record. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's been awesome. Thanks again, Alex, for coming on. This has been another episode of The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno. And don't forget to subscribe. It's up over there. It's up over there on YouTube. It's down there. Who knows? Hit that ding button and subscribe so you get the latest and greatest in your inbox each and every week. And until next time, thanks for watching.